everything. I believe that the implementation has been circulated to all members, and this enables us to start with the meeting. And let me first of all welcome all members and all present here, National Treasury, into our meeting. Of course, this meeting is after a very hectic week in the calendar of events in the National Council of Provinces, where members were at the NCOP Parliament with the people. So, and I want to thank also in the country, of course, very critical issues at the heart of the nation building that we're dealing with in the country, and events which are most unwelcome in how they unfolded, and as public policy makers, we interest ourselves in those issues and continue to find sustainable answers in dealing with our communities. Now, I want to thank members of the committee for having proceeded in my absence, handling very important matter of the public hearing, where about four organizations presented, make oral presentations to the commission. That's the MSC, SALGA, AFRI Forum, and the Equal Education. And also members have received the written submission from members of the public. And thank God that member and the report is here at hand. So I think this meeting will therefore deal with the issues as proposed in the program, the consideration of the responses to the 2050 division of revenue, and consideration of the committee mandates on the division of revenue. And then we'll deal with the normal issues of the minutes. So can I have an indication you agree with the program as proposed? Thank you very much. Then we'll deal with the rest item therefore. Any other apologies?
Yes, thank you, Mr. President. We have the two sending apologies that I wish to record, Ms. Zondi and Mr. Antonis.
And those are our apologies. And so we have to give the consideration of the initiative mandate on the division of revenue, for on our consideration of responses to the 2050 division of revenue. We have National Treasury here. We members have received the treatment. I believe that you have looked into the National Treasury responses, and you are welcome to comment. If there are issues that need further clarification, National Treasury can deal with. Any comment on the document related from National Treasury as the responses? There's also a list in this document, just for information purposes, of municipalities affected by withholding of local government equitable share due to external payment of data. But responses, issues raised in the public hearing.
The response from the complained by the one long side teacher in the Eastern Cape. Where is it now? Your information there, I think National Treasury needs to be more, to expect more on that one, because as far as I'm concerned, in the Eastern Cape there is no town called for them. I don't remember, there's no town called Kofa. What I know is that Kofa is a village. The town is Mansfrey. And the Kofa is about 30K from Mansfrey. So I need to clarify on that. Because there you say it's the town of Kwate, but I know the village of Kwate, yes. It's about 30 kids from the town of Mount Baker, which that village falls under. And I get some central network here.
Oh, are you done again?
Yes, sir.
Okay, just on the confirmation that you are, I don't think National Treasure can contest with you around Eastern Cape, Thompson, or Kode is the village. And, but, okay. Any other comment? Yeah, no.
I'll have a follow-up for that.
Sam, do you want to comment on the response?
Chairperson, yes, thank you. Thank you for the reply by the National Treasury, and it's very good to have Mr. Hutting here this morning as well, who's actually the person that deals with this matter. My problem, Chairperson, 11 municipalities are affected by the withholding of the funds, and my province's meeting on Thursday, and this will be an item on that agenda for their meeting in the Northern Cape, Kimberley. Because this is a very serious matter, and provincial treasuries will have to familiarize themselves with the processes of the National Treasury. I'm speaking up for my own province. That in terms of the Intergovernmental Relations Act, which is very prescriptive, that the departments, in this case National Treasury, Coctar, National Provincial, and Provincial Treasury, will have to be on board on a daily basis what is happening in that province. And I want to ask correspondents that go from the National Treasury, maybe Chapter, I don't know, to specific municipalities that have also been directed with the Provincial Treasury and also the Provincial Doctor. Maybe give us the clarity on that. Because when you speak with officials in the province, they look at you as if it was the first time they're hearing about this. I just want to stress and emphasize the point, and I'm not the chairperson. We as devotees in different constituencies, no matter which political party, will have to sit with our municipalities' leadership in terms of what they're supposed to do, in terms of the legislation that I'm here. Because if you break this law, that's law. It's going to be a consequence. And the consequence mustn't be for the people on the ground, the poor people, because they're in our sector. And somehow, in our report, when the president was deliberated with the statement, this must also be emphasized as a serious message to the country that this committee is serious about this issue. Thank you, sir.
Thanks, Honorable Chair. In terms of the public hearings and the submission that was made by Sarah with regard to the role of the official chairs, there was an input that they made in terms of the timing that was allocated in terms of the responses, the procedures of local government, and the manner in which ESCO is billing, and there was no consensus between municipalities and ESCOM in terms of what are the actual figures, wherein they had the Salga presented an issue that if you need to be, they will have to implement the collection policy. Now, I don't see any answer to that, which relates to the manner in which this was implemented without consultation with the other stakeholders, in the personal church, and we are going to withhold money from municipalities. If we can get clarity around that matter, I think it is still in the end, it's very serious, and there are serious consequences. And there was indication that the municipalities that were listed there were still the municipalities that were affected by the demolition process and municipalities that were become viable. And that would put more stress on those municipalities because they would not be able to provide basic services. Thank you.
Honorable Mr. Speak, is there any other comment on the... These are welcome, and do you want to comment on the National Treasury responses? No. Okay. Just to ask just to understand the process. Is this a local government program on back to basics to deal with endemic problems facing municipalities? And it categorizes municipalities in three broad areas. Those that are said to be okay, those that are said that they've got potential, and those that are weak municipalities, a dysfunctional both in terms of governance and even lowest revenue level. I'm just asking how do you really the struggle to get municipality back to basic and resolve the inherent challenges institutionally, and these ones that you are going to categorize that we have to deal with marginalization. I'm just looking at it. Is it because that this municipality are amongst the worst in terms of governance? The state of affairs in this municipality is not to be desired. There's nothing that can be done. I think we'll allow National Treasury just to catch. You're welcome to just catch or elaborate on any other issue that is. That one to bring for attention, then. Wendy?
Yeah, thank you. I'll start with the mobility question to Ms. Young. If I can deal with the written input that and response that we gave to local junior secondary school, the response we got directly from the Provincial Department of Education. So what happens is the National Department is responsible for taking the policy, and the Provincial Department of Basic Education is then responsible for the implementation of that policy. What we can submit to is to ask the Provincial Department of Basic Education in the Eastern Cape to provide us with more information with regard to the issue that is raised. Because to some extent the answer lies around when is an area town and when is an area village, because that's the finest of the town or the closest town, and most probably what would be useful is also to ask for more information than you got. So we've got the query, and we'll give a further written response given the instance you've given.
Thanks, thanks again for the opportunity to engage with this forum, and apologies to Mr. De Beer. I know that he wanted me to come to this committee many times, so I shall comply. There's three sets of broad issues. I'm going to start with Mr. Beer's issues. We have put in intensive effort to start equipping the provincial treasuries to fulfill their mandate. At our last budget council, Lakotra, which is a political forum, we presented two papers that then framed the policy direction or strategic direction that we would like the provincial treasuries to work with us going forward. And we have now met 8 of the 9 subsequent to the budget council because we fully believe if we empower them and we put them at the coal face of municipalities and take their financial management responsibility seriously, it will certainly help us to assist the process in the week. So for what we do, honorable members, is we do issue a budget circular every year, and we do share with them, and we also present at their forums on the invitation, so that we can explain
the agenda and the items that we have planned for a particular cycle. All correspondence to municipalities, without exception, always get shared with the HOD, the MFM coordinator, and then the other officials that's actually responsible for the work. So for all practical purposes, they are fully informed. So if we do find cases like Mr. Beer has indicated where they don't know, then I would be surprised, because the lead up to this decision to withhold the transfer, we've got a quarterly MFMA joint meeting where all the provincial treasuries, all COCTA, provincial COCTA officials, as well as SELGA, as well as the national departments, attend that religiously. And in that forum, this is where we even will give signal and alert people of what's going to happen. We went as far as to, with Mr. Mashaba's support, Mr. Debeer, is to have training sessions with each provincial treasury to equip them how we do our rollover process. Because we feel if we empower them, and they help us to make recommendations, because in theory, they're supposed to be more involved and understand the municipalities better. So if we equip them to help us in the process, then municipalities will also start respecting them. Because one of the challenges we are struggling with is they feel they don't have any legal teeth, if I can use it.
Honorable members, please tell me people pass on the subject.
Okay.
Let's be focused. I mean, yeah, thanks.
Thanks, Chairperson. So for us it's important to empower them to take the responsibility. But we've always said to them, if you don't behave like a treasury official, don't see that ever people will respect you. You have to earn their trust. So Chair, here we've done significant effort on our side to equip them, to train them, and to take us with us on this journey. But I think there is room for improvement. The second issue, Chair, my understanding from the previous meeting that this House was not too happy with the National Treasury on the way in which we went about to invoke the withholding clause, and I think we acknowledge that there's always scope for improvement, and we're always open and welcome for suggestions. But Chair, I've done a bit of homework, and I will share with you in the form of a separate slide of when this process actually started and how many engagements we've had across the country and at which forum, because we have extensively presented at the Portfolio Committee on Water and Sanitation this issue about water and the water board issue. We have presented at the Portfolio Committee of Public Enterprises. We have presented at all our structures. So if you ask me honestly, I would say that this process actually started in 2009. So we have built up a case, and we've done extensive work to consult municipalities, water boards, and ESCOM. And even the national ministers have initiated processes, and I've got a list of all the dates when this engagement took place. So the mere fact that SELGA raised it as, or it was raised in this committee, it's not as if a treasury has woken up one morning and decided, now we're going to institute this hard measure. So for me, there's a very specific systematic build-up. And at the heart of the problem is, Honourable Member, is that the credit control policies is not being enforced by most municipalities. Secondly, Chairperson, if you look at water electricity losses, which is extensive, then you'll see there's not meter reading taking place. The fact that municipalities don't pay within the 50-day deadline, all of these things are factors that we're trying to understand what is the real problem. At the heart of the problem is sometimes that the budget that municipalities prepare is not necessarily a funded budget. And if you, for instance, in the Northwest, we have managed to see that most municipalities have now signed agreements with ESCOM. The real problem is they don't honor that agreement, they don't stick to it, and secondly, they haven't budgeted for that agreement. So there is not a cent in the budget to give effect to this agreement. And that's why we are using this process to really understand. Now, I would not for a minute say that there's no problems on the Eskom side, and you will see in the report we have articulated some of the challenges that once these processes are concluded, we would like to meet at the policy level with Eskom, because we want to try and influence the way in which they exercise their own credit control policy. For instance, they would ask municipalities to pay within 15 days of the date of the invoice, yet the law is asking for 30 days. But what we've learned through this process, Chairperson, is that the actual making available of the service or the consumption is actually done well in advance. So if you really calculate the days that the municipalities have access to the consumption of electricity or water, then you most probably come to the conclusion that it's actually 45 days. And that's something that we need to clarify between us and ESOR. The other issue, Chairperson, that's also a massive problem is the amount of interest that they, the percentage they ask on the penalty part. This is a 5% above prime. Now, from an overdraft perspective, one could probably justify that. But because this is government, this could be a potential consideration for us to renegotiate as with ESCOM. The other thing that we have seen in this process, Chairperson, although some of the parties have agreements, those agreements are not signed by the two parties. Some of those agreements, although it's in place, the municipalities don't honor it. Now, the argument about sustainability and non-viability is a legitimate argument. However, if you look at the financial management part and all the mismanagement part on the municipal side, then you can only come to the conclusion that if we fix all these other things that are not working, that we will most probably have a different outcome. The point I want to make is credit control enforcement at all spheres of government is something that we do advocate. We also are really grappling with the point that people consume services that they don't, their willingness to pay is another problem in the system. Because if the law is clear that you must pay within 30 days and you have a challenge, then you need to bring it to the attention of ourselves as well as COFTA and CELRA. But what we see in practice is people just violate the law. They think it's fine if you consume water and electricity and there's no limitations to it. So that's one of the real challenges that we would like to fix going forward and taking this process to its logical conclusion. See, then the question that you've asked about the list of the back to basic approach that's been advocated, we as a trade fully endorse the back to basics approach. The list of distressed municipalities in the report that the Treasury produced annually, which is the State of Municipal Finance and Financial Management Report that we have published now for 5 consecutive years, if you look at that report, Chairperson, the number of municipalities we are saying that's in potential distress is about 85. If you look at the COFTA list that they came up as a result of the classification, Chair, that you referred to, then you will see that they came up with 86 municipalities. So we've met to compare the two lists, but unfortunately, it's not the same municipalities. Now, in our case, Chairperson, we use 8 indicators, like you have cash in the bank, your percentage of the operating budget. So all those are explained in our report. So we use essentially 8 indicators to get to the list, whereas the list that COFTA has prepared is essentially a desktop study that they've done. Now, there's nothing wrong with that. It's a good start. But what we have agreed to as a collective between the two departments is that we would like to focus on the 14 municipalities that we will then refer to as the A list. And that list of municipalities over departments will give their full energy and time and commitment to. Unfortunately, those municipalities are not necessarily the municipalities that we're starting targeting with the holding process. Because that ones is the ones on this list is the ones that persistently, as the chair has indicated, have not honored their payment arrangements with Eskom and the water boards. Chair, I hope that I've done justice to your questions.
Thanks, yeah. Ms. Lingan and
then lots of things. Thank you.
Thank you, Tipperson. My question goes to Mr. Hutter because I think municipalities have not only Eskom and the Water Board. I started this thing with Eskom and the Water Board as bad debt. What is of more concern, and I constantly try to follow up on it, is when municipalities collect the rate or the investments that a worker pays every month towards his pension fund and his medical aid. That money is then deducted. And it's not paid over to the medical aid or to the pension or provident fund. At the moment, there are three Eastern Cape municipalities defaulting, and I think the other one is Kanalang that I know of. And that's in the Cape joint sort of, so I don't know what the national picture looks like. But that to me is a sin. Because what is now being done by the municipalities is that if I die and I'm an employee, they quickly run and they pay that insurance company or provident fund, they go and pay my fees up to speed so that the necessary can then be claimed on my behalf. Now that in my mind is fraud, I normally get my vowels the wrong way around, but it's a fiduciary failing and they should be prosecuted. What we did with some municipalities is we did lay charges with the Commercial Crime Unit. But then the National Prosecuting Authority said no, we will keep a sword of Damocles over the municipal manager and the CFO for 3 years to make sure that they consider that a priority creditor similar to that. So that is the other component that we must look at, and it is critical. And here, we are fighting for the workers. And I don't know what the damage is. I also tried to raise this with the Financial Services Board to our committee. And I was told that I'm not an interested and affected party. And I don't know what I'm doing here if I'm not an interested and an affected party for South Africa and all South Africans. Thank you.
Thanks, Ms. Pandian. That order, Ms. Mutasuki, and then
no.
Honorable Dal.
No, thanks, Honorable Chair. I welcome the response, but the country is faced with the triple challenge of unemployment, poverty, and inequality. Now, when you withhold the equitable share to municipalities because of the inefficiency of officials, the people who are the recipients of these basic services are mostly the poor that are subsidized and given free basic services. And they can only be financed through these equitable shares. My little worry is that are we directing the punitive measures to the relevant people? Because it is the officials who are feeling the service from 2009 that you started all this. Now it is not the poor people, it is not the community that has failed, but it is the officials. Why is it that you are not punishing officials and you will hold the equitable shares for the community? To me, it's a greater concern because this whole withholding of these funds is misdirected because the poor people are the ones who are suffering. And I know that these municipalities are distressed. Some do not have even a revenue pay. Mm-hmm. And withholding this money is really aggravating the situation. And I'm not sure what is the intended purpose, because I see this as punitive. In particular, when you look at the municipalities in Northwest that you have listed there, you have your Matlosana, which is under Section 139. You have your Makamuti Rilema, which was under Section 139. You've got your Naledi, which has had a number of crises. You have your Swahili, because of the website, it's punished. Ordinary people are punished. They don't develop a website for the municipality. It is the officials responsible who must do that. Now, you are. The punitive measure is actually misdirected and it is the poor who are getting the rough end. Thank you.
Thanks, Honorable Justin. Charles.
Chairperson, I believe, Mr. Hassan, you just bring the committee of board regarding the 45 municipalities that appears on this list. The methods they are, what they are doing at present. I know what they're doing, but I think you must just bring the rest of us in the meeting board to clarify. That will clarify a lot of other questions.
Thank you very much. Shall Mr. Gaylor, minute to do a follow-up?
Yeah, I know. I just wanted to make a suggestion. Some of these expenses are very small. It's shown at the beginning. In line with what my colleague was saying, high rate of unemployment and poverty. Why don't government treasury make sure that it fits to the facility that implemented? Because some of the things I tell them to read off to somebody, why do we then have a particular percentage? It should be a specific application. So all of this money goes to the official. Let us be special about this. All the officials go to the official. Why do we just make sure that these cases when we listen to the one of the mobile and it should be as more than you say, it should be better. Nothing more. And whatever you do, there is no way that it will be able to run itself. I don't care whatever you do. So I think that is the best. Thank you.
Thanks. What I think, as members of the committee, we do subscribe to principles of efficient public finance management. And also that strong fiscal treasury has got an obligation, I think, given some of the issues. Besides a stronger fiscal framework within which they operate. But issues that we raise are issues, I think, of how best do we deal with it. Because part of the challenge is that a number of institutions are faced with serious problems, and this has got to be addressed. And I like you to highlight that ESCOM as well should not be treated lightly. Should address serious institutional problems that are facing ESCOM, inefficiencies in a big way. Those issues have got to be addressed, as well as not flagging, of course, as committee or probation sliding, where we think that can promote some of the inherent mismanagement weaknesses that are in municipalities. Those issues have to be addressed. But I just want to pose a question to Treasurer. Based on not long ago, there was an intervention that was run by Treasury provinces. And many a times we like to draw lessons, the important lessons. Don't you think that you should have consulted Parliament within a reasonable period of time to deal with these issues? That just consulting. I don't know that this decision is not a life decision, it's a major decision. The process of consultation within the framework within which you operate, that would have enabled Parliament to internalize some of the issues that you're dealing with. And I'm just saying that if you are to comparatively have intervened in provinces, we're still dealing with the consequences of some of the intervention. I think Honorable Charles is going to draw attention to that later in the week, the Limpopo case. But I'm simply saying that, do you think that you have had a reasonable period of taking Parliament, particularly if relevant committees on board, in dealing with the certain differences around this area?
Thank you. Again, thanks for the opportunity to respond. The issue about the pension liability and even making transfers to SARS is very aware of it, and it's a very serious matter. The difficulty here that we have is for us to detect this in our reporting systems, because as the committee know, we don't have yet a system solution for local government like we have at the national provincial level. So, and we are busy with a standard chartered account that will help us to classify the transactions, so that if you, so from a transparency point of view, it's very difficult if you go into the information that municipalities lodge to us to detect this specific information. But we firmly believe going forward that our standard chart will facilitate that we have this information, and then gradually also start taking those measures forward. Now, one of the things that we do not as yet have a real handle on chairperson, and here I have to confess, is municipalities have all different pension funds. And so if you ask anybody currently, we are about to commission a study to get an understanding of all the pension funds and their contingent liabilities in the system. And I think once we have that type of information, which will guide us on how to reform the system going forward. Because until we have that substance and that type of information, it's going to be very difficult to take the Honourable Member's suggestion forward and then even institutionalize measures to detect if a municipality has not done the right thing or wrong thing. But we are aware of selective cases, and when we are, this information is shared with us, then we will obviously follow it up and try to resolve the problem. But it is a massive problem as we speak. And I'm not going to try and there's real hard work that we need to do in this area, because I don't think we're on top of this one as yet, if I can put it that way. But certainly, Chairperson, once the work is commissioned and we have the results, we may bring it back to this house so that you have a better understanding of the overall pension liability in because there's 278 municipalities, and therefore there's most probably the same number like the government pension fund, we have one, but in the municipal space there's many of these institutions. Mr. Yer has asked me to give you a sense of the process. So, Chairperson, what we have done is, with this withholding, we then invite the municipalities to come for a meeting, and the three department institutions, ourselves, COCTA and SALGA, is in part of that proceeding, together with the provincial treasury. And essentially what we use this platform is to try and understand the real problem. Why is a municipality in a position not to honor its liability? Because if you can't pay a creditor, then it means there's an inherent liquidity problem that's in the system. And if you have a liquidity problem that you can't deal with, then it means there's a budget problem. And if there's a budget problem, then there's most probably a leadership problem. So that's what we're trying to understand. And what we do is we invite the MM, the CFO, the mayor, as well as the MMC Finance, so that the political principals can also understand the challenges that is confronting the municipality. Because sometimes just a bit of leadership helps to direct the municipality in a particular direction. So, Chairperson, we look at the configuration of the creditors, and it's not only the two Eskom and water boards. We look at the comprehensive list of the creditors. You will also see, if we show you the numbers that in the audit annual financial statements, the numbers of creditors disclosed in their statements and what they report in Section 71 is not the same. In Section 71 is a massive understatement of the problem, and we're trying to resolve that. Because towards the end of the financial year, municipalities paid attention because they know the Auditor General is going to audit the numbers. But in the Section 71 reports, you'll see creditors are understated, and we want to understand the full list of serviceability. Now, the issue about using the withholding in the Division of Revenue Act and even in the MFMA is not a preferable option, and we know this is a very sensitive issue, and we've heard the members. But, Chairperson, to be honest, that's only tool we currently have at our disposal to get reaction in the system. So, if you ask us, did we consult this house sufficiently, I would say no. What I can show you is all the other committees that we've consulted, and they all have asked us to do something, but the hard reality, nothing was actually done, to be honest. So we have built the case, and now the Treasury has, with a blessing of the Minister and the Director General, has said, let's tackle this problem and be decisive. But that means we must be consistent at the national and the provincial level. So, Chairperson, hopefully out of this process, we will have a better understanding of the challenges. The issue about municipalities that don't have a revenue base, I think Wendy normally deals with this, and if you look carefully at the numbers, in my opinion, we use the Division of Revenue Act to actually, and the fiscal framework for local government as a package to acknowledge that we recognize that we don't have a proper revenue base. But if you look at the funding that's directed to municipalities plus the conditional grants as a package, then the argument of a non-viable municipality is something that we as a Treasury Chairperson, we're not always sharing the same sentiment as some of our other stakeholders. So if you look at the funding that in the Division of Revenue Act is channeling to those poor municipalities, that's the way in which we use the national fiscus to compensate those poor municipalities. But you can compensate them as much as you like if proper financial management and proper discipline and proper measures like your credit control and your budgeting system, those things don't work. It doesn't matter how much money you invest in those municipalities. There's always that eloquent balance that we will have to strike. Chairperson, then targeting the officials. I think recently this Parliament has approved the disciplinary regulation. Is that the right terminology? That our colleague, it was recently promulgated. So now I think we have a tool, Chairperson. Even the Public Service Act, the one that the Treasury has done in terms of the MMA, it was recently promulgated. And that regulation will enable us now, if we should target, and we know for a fact that the MMA or the CFO has not done their work, we should be able now with that legal foundation that they to change our approach and not use this type of measure that we use. So all I'm saying to you, we also constrained as a Treasury in the sense we have this tool, we've used it, and perhaps not to your satisfaction, but there is now the other legal basis of the day that can help us going forward to take officials on that have not done their great work. The difficulty, Chairperson, if you consume a service and you've created a debt, the community has received a service. So it's not necessarily that people share in that sense affect them. It's the way in which the municipality must now pay their creditors. But we do acknowledge that this is a sensitive area, and we've heard this house that we must be careful in which the way in which we go about to invoke these measures. So it's not it's always a last resort. Chairperson, what is also critical in one or two cases historically, and we have targeted one or two municipalities that historically has completely failed, then we institute the hard measure, which is the Section 2162 of the Constitution. That was more, if you ask me, a threat to get a reaction out of the system, meet with the municipalities, understand their challenges, but also then guide them. So sorry for the long explanation.
That's very necessary one. That was very helpful. The parting note, I allow the last comment.
A way forward, Chair, and that we engage with Mr. Hutton on a quarterly basis, as well as COC, regarding this process of assisting this municipality sector. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. The recommendation is noted. Mr. Gaila?
No.
Are you saying no of the advice from Mr. Lillian or from me?
No, we are making together.
Okay.
There is a what are you doing about departments that all these things are I would only inquire because you're supposed to be at school, but what do you then do with these people that all these civilians? Because they're also constrained, they're paying in the house. I think you should do the same with the department as well, because they all really have the department. And entities as well. Thank you.
Yeah, very. It has to remain the question that Ms. Khalidian wanted to pose.
Thank you. As a parting shot, yeah, you know, I just want to say in conclusion, nothing to do with national treasury, but is there a political will to instill and do what we really have to do as was explained? Thank you.
Thanks. I think honourable members have given this sufficient time for discussion and dealing with this budget process, particularly division of revenue. It's a continuation of the budget process. And I believe that these are by far the most interesting bureaus that our interaction with national treasury deal with very complex but issues that we have to take decisions on. And I think I must say that their briefing has been quite helpful to the committee. But can I allow you, Mr. Hadjian, just to make some closing comments on this matter, and maybe if you would like to.
Okay. President, thanks again. Just for the benefit of the House, on either 16th of April, we have seen 14 municipalities and we've released vehicle share. So it's not that we... I don't have it. This would think that we will give it to the committee. It's on. Let me check. The NHA is a cooler, but we haven't seen them necessarily in this sequence as we shared with you, Chair. But that's something I can make sure to give you the name today.
Yes. Honourable Mr. Kring will just read.
Sorry, it's on the top of it. And then for the benefit of the
House,
on page 9 and 10 of the report, Chairperson, we have put in two tables of information that debt owed by national departments to municipalities, the province, and debt owed by provincial departments to municipalities. So the point that the honourable member has made is that we now begin this process, and in each province there's a committee managed by the provincial treasury that help us engage with the government debt part. Now the government debt part is not the big part; it's a small percentage of the overall outstanding amount. It's around 4%, but that's the easy money to get to go after, if I can put it this way. The one that we are now trying to focus on collectively with municipalities is the one for businesses. Because there's no need why a business should not pay a municipality within the legally required timelines. So, Chair, this two tables is the beginning of a journey to share with us our information. I have to say that the process is not that advanced, and therefore the numbers is not 100% reconciling perfectly. But at least we've now instituted the process, and we would like to advocate that everybody enforces a credit control. So if a department in the province do not pay a municipality, we advise those municipalities to proceed with a credit control, as long as they follow prudent processes. Chair, and then the other thing is we have a big problem with the bills. So sometimes the bills is not submitted to the right place or the right owner. So that's another project that we're working with collectively with the Department of Public Works as well as the REIT office to get the ownership of the property resolved. And it's a big problem that, unfortunately, nobody has paid attention since 1994. So, Chair, in conclusion, we welcome the recommendation by the Finance de Beer. And I guess the best place is once we publish our results that we then appear before the committee, but in addition to report back on managing the ESCOM and the water board in this context. So, Chair, I think we're very comfortable to commit to that.
Honorable Mudasupi, we really welcome the response by National Treasury of this matter. As you say, that these are complex but very important issues that we need to provide leadership for. And I think that we, as the recommendations have been made, that on a quarterly basis, we'll keep our watch on progress that we are making in this regard. And this also will influence in a big way our oversight as this appropriation committee. Tougher measures have to be imposed. We have to deal with this situation. And the technical ability of the functioning of the state across all its levels is an important matter. We have got to instill some kind of a discipline in the manner in which we conduct our business across CS and even the state entities. So this institutional overhaul trying to deal with these matters from the bottom of the from the origin of the problems, I think it's an important issue. So as a committee, we do understand the need for this intervention, and we will continue to engage with you when necessary. Thanks very much. We concluded the discussion of this matter. Then the second item is the negotiating mandate. Negotiating mandate, can I get guidance from the Honorable Secretary? We received all the, we have received 8 of the negotiating mandates for all 9 provinces. Thanks, that's progress. That's progress, that's good. Are they saying no, or all of them yes to the Division of Revenue? The week, anyone is up? Yeah. Is it a Mr. Gaila? Ms. Pandilia? Who wants to speak on behalf of ECK? Yes.
Thank you.
Okay. Taylor? Your mandate? No, negotiating. Not voting. Negotiating mandate.
Honorable Chair, thank you. The problem votes in favor of the bill and mandates that Christian patients negotiate in favor of the bill. However, there are some few concerns. One, matters there has been a review of the local government in Kutubu Shehe, Korea. There has been little retreat for municipalities. A deadlock portion should be considered. If the community cannot transform from the use of numbers, it is population data. The frequency of the data collection should be reconsidered, as even the 2011 census results are outdated for some municipalities. B, the underfunded mandate such as library services granted municipalities are contributing to the adverse audit outcome in the municipalities, as municipalities are obliged to use their own funds to sustain these services, and then they get punished by the auditor general. The provincial division of revenue bills should also be brought to the municipality for consultation and input thereof. The amount of money allocated for road maintenance is insufficient, as some districts need good road network to continue with agriculture and tourism.
Some districts.
The water provision system, together with its associated infrastructure maintenance, is expensive. The MUIT, together with other water associated grants, are not enough for proper provision of water and sanitation services. Perhaps the alignment of financial year for provinces and local spheres of government affects the manner in which municipalities are expected to plan. Provincial departments at the end of the financial year dump funds in municipalities who are then expected to spend his money in under 3 months. The institutional support grant system has collapsed, and treasury has not been able to effectively support municipalities, and this has had a negative impact on the revenue collection and audit outcomes. 8. Municipalities of democratic gratitude associated but should not be limited to 3 years, but be requested to be a minimum of 5 years. I fund grants which relate to development and only allocated to metros should also be considered for secondary cities, like Queenstown, which is currently in part of the KFG, you know my attention for that, for that Queenstown, I don't know, there is no support for urban development in these secondary cities. Additional consideration, they mistakenly felt that Alcas will be used as part of the consultation process in relation to municipalities. Okay, there are municipalities that were affected by natural disaster as far as 2007, but because of bureaucracy and red tape, the money allocated for their recovery has not been assessed by affected municipalities. Treasury Department with other relevant provincial departments should play a more active role at the initial stage of the IDP process, not at the later stages, as it is currently happening. This will lead to better IDPs. Natural treasure generally has threatened to withhold the appropriate share of some municipalities because of outstanding FOMs. This is viewed by the sovereign as a serious manner as setting of one sphere by another sphere is regarded as unconstitutional. Therefore, the legislature should intervene in finding solutions to this problem. Recommendations. Municipalities must be included in the FSC years in the province. IDR courses must be intensified. Necessary must ensure that there is capacity to spend the grants when allocating them. The last one, municipalities are to further consult and submit their input in 40 days. Chairman, that is a mandate for my province. With those concerns, I thank you.
Thank you very much. Mr. Garela, you have presented the mandate, the negotiating mandate from the province, which the province is in favor of the deal, and then we go to the Free State province. I can confirm that it's part of your package as well, and the province is in favor of the deal. Two issues that are raised there by the province, you can see on the document, is the issue about the district of Kari, which is a very vast, poor, that historically has depended on the agricultural economy, which needs huge injection, the province make that note. And the second one is on roads. They say that because Free State is in the middle of South Africa, there's a lot of rail movement. Free State is in the middle of South Africa, there are 6 national roads that connect across the country. I think that is what they're saying there about the roads, some roads to be handed to the national department. I mean, speak to Sandra, that there should be an ongoing negotiation of those roads which carry more of right movement. Those are 2 issues that the province is thinking. Thanks. Let's go to the next province. Okay.
Thank you, Mr. Kauteng votes in favor of the Division of Revenue Bill with the following recommendations. The fiscal rebalancing to include cost containment measures and intensified efforts to improve efficiency in the expenditure to realize government programs in a tight fiscal phase must be continued. And 2, that infrastructure investments must be monitored for expeditious national integration of urban poor into the mainstream city life through investment in transport infrastructure and connecting corridors of development. So where we connect to Free State, this must be expedited, but both in favor. Thank you.
Thank you, can we go to the next province? Yeah, we've got a big project between Gauteng and Free State and Cape Verde. You know, that's a part of the big project, the corridor. It's called the corridor development. So it's a very big project. Then can we go to the next province after Gauteng? Well, Cape Verde, no, let me not keep that all in that order. Cape Verde.
What I want.
Okay, then, okay, let's ask the WEB if there is any confirmation. Okay, Mutara, let's check for record, just record couple. Do they support or?
Thank you, Chairperson. The negotiating mandate received from KZN indicates that they vote in favor with the decision of revenue book.
Thank you very much. What's the next problem? Limpopo province, Honorable Deleni.
You know, to be speaking on behalf of Limpopo province, maybe you can ask Honorable Mudala, because as the EFF, we always have a different view. We cannot support the fees as the EFF based on the following reasons.
I'm asking a negotiating mandate of the province.
Yes, I understand.
And please appreciate that you understand the architecture of the model that we have of parliament.
Yes, I do.
Honourable Chair, on the point of order, sorry for assistance through you. I just want to point out to Mr. Mdreni that he is here as a delegate of Limpopo, so he should just present.
That's what we are saying, yeah. Mr. Mdreni. Yeah, in fact, if you don't want to comment on the matter, please, you have your comment.
But this will be on record.
No. We're not asking party view here. Okay. We're asking the provincial delegate to present provincial position.
So it means Honorable Mdala should have to go to the doctor.
Yeah, you abandon your responsibility. It means you are non-existent here in this meeting. So Mdala can do that. The painful subject.
Thank you, Chairperson. On behalf of the Limpopo legislature, of which I am not delegate, the negotiating mandate is in support of the decision of the Limpopo.
Thanks. Just to ensure that Limpopo is not distorted by party view. Delegate. The next province, Secretary? Mpumalanga.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. I might be out of order, Honorable Chair, but forgive me. You know, as much as I might not necessarily agree because of party politics, but it is my duty being mandated here by my province that I should produce and present the mandate. I trust that Honorable Sinelli will digest this for immediate reasons in the future. And then I might still be out of order, Honorable Chair. You did suppress me before you moved on to this. I'm going to take a quick swipe and ask National Treasury on NHJA. I didn't know KwaZulu-Natal municipalities there, and I also see my famous municipality Tabashiro in Mpumalanga once also on this list. Please take cognizance of that fact. And then moving on, Honorable Chairperson, yeah, thank you for the opportunity. I am here to present the negotiating mandate on behalf of the province where the sun never sets, Mpumalanga. Honorable Chair, Mpumalanga province votes for the Division of Revenue Amendment with just one note, which I would like to read and take on record, and that is, I'll go a little slow so it can be captured. The future allocations of the equitable share to Mpumalanga province need to consider, very importantly so, with the xenophobic scenario currently around our country. So I would ask that it be considered that the daily migration of the bordering country citizens that normally utilizes the province's health, education and social development facilities in Mpumalanga, and also in addition to the official data provided by SAS-SA, be considered as far as our policy is concerned. Honorable Chair, I thank you for the opportunity.
Thanks, Honorable Isaac. Can we move to the next province? Northern Cape. Murka.
The Honourable Deleni must read page 46 of the Constitution, section 76, very seriously. The Northern Cape supports the vote of the bill public hearing was held on the 16th of April, Chairperson, and there was written submission, and there is also a attachment to the minutes of the immigration mandate under the procedures from SALGA Telegraph also supports the division of the government. Well, thank you.
Thanks very much. Western Cape, did the week indicate we received a mandate from the city? Honorable Matra should be.
The people's province of Okoni Mufiri, in terms of the deal, both in favor and support, and they have raised an issue on the formula that has been used, and the issue is based on the rural nature of the province and the service delivery backlog. That's the mandate of the province. I must, however, indicate that our wing should not take it for granted that everybody understands all processes, the committee. It is important that from time to time, engage one-on-one with members of this committee. We don't have the same understanding, the same academic, understanding of issues that they are presented. So I would wish that the week must from time to time engage quite a number of us only on one basis, in particular my colleague Kileni, Honorable Kileni. Comrade Issa, I can read from A to Z, and if there was a need for an extension of reading from Z extra, I would do likewise. Thank you.
This is on A, Honorable Mutlushupi.
Okay, thank you, Honorable Mutlushupi. The Northwest Province gave the mandate for the province to support the division of revenue. Can I, the Western Cape?
Present, but negotiating mandate has been handed in, and it's part of the documentation, and the Western Cape supports the role.
Okay, the Western Cape supports the negotiating mandate is handed over here. I can see. So it supports. So we agree. That's the last problem. Of course, we will deal with some of the issues. I think from the chair, I will have discussion with Honorable Mjibeni, just to straighten up some of the constitutional obligations that we have as members of the committee to deal with some how to conduct the business of the committee. And it will also require the extension of service because we almost just deal with the issues to reach out one another how we want to deal with the issues at the level of the committee. I don't want to have any discussion on this matter.
Can I comment?
No, I don't have any discussion on this matter. Also outside the committee. That's why they, as chair of the committee, will have our discussion just to refer to some of the issues and cordially find a way of dealing with the business of the committee, facilitating the smooth running of the committee. Thanks. Any other? Okay, we'll conclude the item on.
It is important that we also circulate a copy of the mandate because it plays a very important role. Someone would be able to give me, I'm Johnny come lately on this committee, but perhaps it is time that we all read it again just to fully understand how the mandate works from provinces and what the situation really is. It makes Section 76 more understandable. If the gentleman doesn't have a copy of the act, I will pass it on to you.
It is available now from the secretary here. No. It's just a recommendation to say that you must circulate some documents. So we take note of that. Any
culture?
Yes, Honorable Philip.
Reading from some of the provinces as they were supporting the bill. If you have listened attentively to what they were saying, maybe two to four provinces with some attachments. I think to me they are tantamount to say no, but I think we should also learn to say no if it has to be a no or yes it has to be a yes. Because sometimes we may be sometimes the secretary is not understanding the constitution. But I must also throw in, you know, the weight behind the whole thing. Because if you take what was represented by Homeland Isaac, and also Mutashubing, and also the Gaida, that is someone saying more. But just they are being pulled by their nose to say yes, yes, they know. I mean, because they are considering the constitutional So, I know you always call it in order.
Okay.
Because I'm telling the truth.
Okay.
Because if you were to give me a chance, I would have asked this is why I'm saying no today.
Okay, let's take a point of order from the week.
Chairperson, you close this letter, and we have all presented the negotiating mandate on behalf of our government. As far as I understand, the item on the agenda is passed. Can we please move on with the next item?
Thanks. Let me start. Okay, National Treasurer, you are released. Otherwise, if you want to be part of us, you have been already begging. I can see you are very uncomfortable. Thanks very much. You want to respond to anything before you leave, Wendy?
Yeah, tell me what we do. Give an initial impression, and then we call our sector for a little input.
Okay. Digest it.
Okay. Yes, Jan, anything? Were you saying? Okay. Wendy?
What we've done in the past, generally is just to give verbal response on a high level, and then we follow it up with a written response. But basically, we can just provide a written response as well.
Yes, Wendy. We will look forward through the committee secretary, the negotiating mandate. And that will allow you to provide any response if you feel so necessary. Thank you very much for being here. I heard a story about Washington. I don't know what's happening in Washington. What is forgotten in Washington? Mr. Bandija. So, sorry, thank you very much, Jan and Wendy. Great.
When are you going?
Yeah.
The last. Okay.
When are you supposed to go?
Do you want to follow the program? As is. Do you want to break for tea?
Yeah.
No, okay. Should we continue? Okay. Then the type of minutes that should be considered. I'll ask Dubabalo to lead us. The first day, second day, third, and so forth. You had this document, you read the document.
Yes, sir.
Okay, let's go to 17 February 2015, the first set of minutes.
Yes.
I only release National Treasury. I see some people who are applying to be members to be in the Department of Treasury must follow due process. So that... Okay, so 17 February we had a meeting, and the meeting considered the budget. Mr. Mutashubing, can you talk on the meeting? Is it a good, correct reflection of you?
Yes, I move.
Were you present here first day?
Perfect.
With you, I must check,
Chair, I'm making a very serious remark, and this remark.
Honorable Mutashubing, I propose you that we adopt the minutes.
Chair, I take some of it.
No.
Because there is a sufficient about attendance of people, and people gossip maliciously. And about to... There is a problem with this thing.
Honorable Chair, I don't think it's any bone for condition, Honorable Chair. The man's name is tied and listed there. So can we move, please?
No, the Honorable Chair has been moved, Isaac. What is the ending of February? That's the second. Second that?
Chair, Addison.
Okay.
The
name of the second is Mr. Isaac.
Oh.
No, he raised the hand. He raised the hand first. The second minutes is 27 February. And then Mutara, are you?
I was
Yeah,
not in the meeting, chairperson.
What happened, Mr. Chair?
No, no. Indicated a policy.
Okay. Honorable DBN.
I move to a chair.
Honorable Mukashvi. Second. 27, third one.
I was in the meeting that day, but it appears that I was not there. I don't know who moved that policy that they have.
On the 27th,
yeah.
The secretary will check. Maybe you arrive late or what, but when it means absent, it means absent. You may not be late. Yeah. Were you there?
Yeah.
The minutes do not reflect any of your input here. It's unusual that you could be invited. Rubabalo will check his records. If you were absent, it remained as is that you were absent.
But he wasn't there. Right. You know he wasn't there.
I don't understand.
I remember, but you know and I know he wasn't there.
They said lunch.
Honorable Chair.
That's much, yes.
Chair, go for the reception.
Whoa.
Keep order.
Honorable Chair, thank you. Yeah, I was just waiting for you to finish it, Honorable Teleni. On page 4, where we talk of division of revenue.
Page 4, yes.
You see that on page 4? In the middle of the paragraph, this error was made by the consultant hired to verify the scale of disaster damage. I know you might not know, because I don't know. I just wanted to query on page 4.
Yeah, I see.
Yeah. I just wanted to find out how far is this issue, how far is this issue, are we on track, has it been corrected or not yet? Thank you, Honorable Chair. Page 4, division of revenue bill, in the middle of the paragraph where it says this error was made. In the middle of the page.
But I think you just say paragraph first, so not in the intro.
The middle of the page. Well, you see, Honorable Mr. Lin, you were not there, so you won't understand the dynamics of what I'm speaking about.
Paragraph
number. What a basic of friends. Honorable Chair, sorry, Honorable Mr. Lin was not there, so you will not understand what I'm talking about. Please, give him guidance, Honorable Chair. And Alaman.
Okay, then we take note of getting...
27th of March.
Okay.
No.
The matter arrived on the minutes of the 27th.
Okay.
Yeah.
What's the comment on this, sir?
No, I am saying the matter that is indicated here, National Treasurer gave me the commitment that to clarify.
Yes.
Or to provide progress.
Yes.
So we'll follow on with National Treasurer on this matter. Isn't it true? What was it?
Yes, the infection there is a return response. The stuff that I don't have is here now.
Okay.
And in particular from National Treasurer indicating the correction. Because it's not a question of correcting the part of the allocation.
Oh, the disaster fund. Yes.
The allocation,
yeah, the disaster. So has it been put?
I do not anticipate that will arise in the
okay.
And they bring the COVID. But I can speculate the COVID to
21.
Okay.
No, it's fine, no problem. The explanation is quite acceptable. He circulated via email is good enough also. Just wanted to follow it up. Thank you, Honorable Chair.
Thank you
very much. Now we go to 10th March. Honorable Ndara.
Chair, I move to the adoption of the minutes.
Honorable Ndara moves that we adopt the minutes that March. Seconda. Second, Honorable DPM. 14 April, public hearing.
Some people were not in there.
Public hearing, yeah. Public hearing. Honorable Ndara.
Chair, I move to the adoption of the minutes.
The second act and then. Represent from the guest.
Oh,
okay.
I was looking
what you said. I'm not asking you. Thank you.
Yes.
Yes.
You are watching, sir. But when it's on the electrical phone, it may be sleeping.
Okay. No. I won't. I don't know what happened that day. Maybe Mr. Mjedeni provided an apology. So I really want to be drawn to that. So we agree for the minutes of the public hearing, which is the last set of our minutes. I think I want to thank Honorable Charles Didier, the chair of the finance committee, who also assisted us to chair the appropriation committee meeting on public hearings, and the whip of the committee, Honorable Ndara, for facilitating the discussion that ultimately resolved that our meeting should take place. Smooth facilitating the meeting arrangement. Thanks, Honorable Members, for being present. Yeah. Thank you very much. The meeting is adjourned.